Welcome to the Connect Community Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. We're so glad to have you with us today. If you're ever in our area, come see us in person. We hope today's message inspires you and helps you live better.
It's great to see you guys as usual. We're going to continue, as JD said, part three of our series entitled Blessed. And if you haven't caught the first two parts, I'm going to encourage you to go online and do so. Every week we have been declaring Psalm 1 together, and it just makes such a difference when you know what you're declaring, right? When you have broken down scriptures, you have spent time memorizing, you have spent time meditating, you have spent time letting it sink in, and the reason for these words and what they mean or should mean in our lives. So I'm going to encourage you to go. Last week he talked about not wasting your winter, which is a very foundational message. He spoke about us being a tree and being planted. Not only being planted, but where we're planted also matters. So I'm going to highly encourage that you go and check those messages out. Now for part three, I have entitled this message, Unwithered. So let's go to our key scripture again. If you know it, you can just say it together. If you don't know it, you can read and follow along with me. But the passage that we have been breaking down is Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3. And it says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do." Amen. Have you ever felt like a withered leaf? I have. In fact, if I'm honest, I spent the first couple of years that we planted this church, that we launched in this church, in 2015, very much feeling like that. It was one of the hardest years of my personal life. We moved here in 2013. We moved here in 2013 and we hit the ground running. But we moved here with no family. We moved here with no friends. We moved here with no support, with no prospect. We had a very small savings account and a toddler. We hit the ground running, JD and I, both of us just looking for jobs, applying for jobs daily. And if you've ever been on the job hunt, you know how that goes. We figured this. We had done this before. So the first person to get a job would provide for us income-wise. The other one would focus on the church and would take care of our 2.5-year-old. Friends, can I tell you that those beginning years felt a lot more like withering than prospering? Every day felt hard. Meeting people was hard. Not finding a job was hard. Not knowing what would happen tomorrow was hard. We weren't hopeless. We weren't defeated. But it wasn't one of those seasons where you'd say we were feeling flourishing. It wasn't one of those seasons that was, nourishing for us. It was very draining. It was very taxing. And then, as God would have it, we're on this journey and we find out we are pregnant with twins. Not one, two babies. It felt, if I'm honest, a bit like a practical joke. Right? I mean, what? But wait, that's not it. Not only are we pregnant with twins, we go to the doctor and we find out this is going to be a highly difficult pregnancy. Now, these babies that are in you can grow, have some abnormalities. I mean, the list that they gave us, the stats that they gave us of things that could go wrong, it ran a mile long. And then they ended with, and they can die in there, one or both at any time. I'll tell you what, I will never forget that conversation, that rainy, dark, chilly afternoon in that doctor's office. I can tell you that in the natural, I didn't feel blessed. We moved here with what we thought was a God-ordained call in our lives. We were obedient. We were following what he was telling us to do. We gave up everything. We gave up our family. We gave up our friends. Financial stability. We were both employed. And free daycare. Now, if you have kids in daycare, you know. We had free daycare. And now we're here. And things are just getting harder. Harder and harder. By the day. Have you ever felt that way? Like you followed, you did what God asked you to do. You did exactly what he said, and it didn't get easier, it got harder. You broke up with the person that he told you to break up with. But now it's been years, and you're lonely. Or you quit that job to start the business or the thing that God wanted you to do. You did what he asked you to do, and then it started getting tighter and tighter financially. And you feel so much pressure, you feel like you can burst at any minute. Or you moved to this new place. It was supposed to be a new beginning for you, but it just feels like the same old thing. See, when you read a passage like this that we've been reading, you are tempted to think that you'll never feel sad because you're supposed to be happy. You're blessed. Now, see, if you just don't hang around with the wrong people, if you don't join in with mockers, you don't sit with sinners, you're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to feel happy all the time. And it's like, God, I'm surrounding myself with the right people. In fact, I'm in church. How better people can I be? I'm surrounding myself with the right people. I'm serving, I'm giving, I'm doing all the things. I'm following what I know to do, and still, why am I not feeling blessed? Why am I not feeling joyful? So what do you do? What do you do when it seems like God is not keeping up his end of the bargain? When your life feels more like it's withering than prospering. What I want to share with you guys today is what JD and I did. What he and I have ventured to do daily in our walk with God. In this life, in this journey with God, it's one of growth. It's one of character development. You can be sure of this. That God will never sacrifice you in the process of your assignment. If he has allowed something to come into your life, if he has allowed a season to enter your life, that means you can bear it. It may be hard, it may be painful, but you can see it through. He tells us this. He promises this. We find it in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He tells us, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So I want to tell you, remember, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to encourage you with a few things. Remember, first thing, remember what God has done in the past. Remember what God has done. How has he showed up for you before? What has God already delivered you from? Have you been at other times, have you felt this way at other times? And in hindsight, you can look back and say, but he showed up. How did you make it here? How did you make it this far? See, in my case, in this season where I felt like I was withering, I remembered the time that we were in Houston. And I remembered when we had an empty pantry and no money in sight because JD was still looking for a job and I was barely, I was leasing apartments and we were barely making ends meet and it was tight, it was so tight. And I remember one night that I cried out to God with an empty pantry and I said, God, you brought us here. You moved us here. We left our homes in Brazil and we moved here with, again, what I thought was a God call. You brought us here, and I know you have not brought us here to leave us here. I know you haven't brought us here to leave us here. We're not going to end this way. And that same night, as I prayed and as I cried out to God, and as JD, who was at church at the time, praying and crying out to God as well, was on his way home from church, and he was on the highway, and he's told the story before. He was on the highway, and he had to take a detour, and that detour led him to a help wanted sign on a restaurant wall, and he walked in, and he applied for the job, and that same night, he got a delivery job. And as you know, with delivery driver jobs, you get money instantly, right? You get tips. And we were able to put food in our pantry that very next day. See, I remembered that before, God had shown up for me before. God had provided for us before. So in this season, as things were tough, I remembered that he was present before. The next thing I want to encourage you to do is to remember his promises. See, scripture tells us that God is not human that he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? In times like these, when your feelings are, when you feel withered inside, the enemy works overtime to make you doubtful and confused. He wants to distract you. But here's the thing. Most often we are let down by our own expectations and not by God. I'm going to say it again. Most often, we are let down by our own expectations, not God. Let me tell you why. See, we feel like God said something, and because often when God speaks to us, he doesn't give us a full blueprint. Like, he doesn't give us a full map. He gives us snapshots of what he's calling us to. And because he speaks to us that way, we are left to assume and fill in the blanks in some ways. Or our mind tends to fill in those blanks. And when we do that, we make it's our own assumptions of how things are going to turn out, right? So we assume, for instance, timelines. We assume it's going to happen now. We assume, or we want it to happen immediately. So we make the assumption that things will happen immediately. We assume that because God spoke to us, people should get it. They should get it, they should see it, they should be for it, they should support it. We assume it should be easy because God said it. So if God said it, it should be easy for me to achieve it, right? We assume that money is going to show up for it. We don't have to work hard, it's just gonna come on a doorstep. The finances will just show up. We assume that we'll be good at it instantaneously without hard work because that's what we were meant to do, so I must be good at it. We assume we won't fail or experience closed doors. But these are all assumptions. How many times, for those of you in the room that have followed anything that God has asked you to do, have you made these assumptions and turned out it wasn't what you thought? Then, when inevitably it fails because we are employing these assumptions of ours and not what God had intended, then we think God has failed us. Friends, God didn't fail you because it didn't happen the way you thought it would. And he didn't fail you because it didn't happen in your timeline. See, the Word of God tells us that for no matter how many promises God has made, They are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So his promises are yes and amen. So remember what he actually promised you. Did he say it would be easy? Did he say you wouldn't feel any pain? I can almost guarantee you he didn't. But he did promise an outcome. He gave you a vision. He gave you a dream. He gave you a passion. He gave you something. And in his words, you have a guideline. In his scriptures, you have guidelines like the one we have been declaring. In the process, do not join yourself with wicked people. Do not stand around with sinners. Do not join with mockers. Do not get advice for the wicked. Why? Because they will lead you astray. Instead, you do what? Delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Do that instead. See, in our case, in the season where I felt like I was withering, I often looked at a magnet to remember this promise. I looked at a magnet that was on our fridge, and I think we have it. That's the magnet that was on our fridge in our house. And the reason we had this magnet is because when God gave us this vision to plant this church, I thought he was crazy. Gotta be honest with God, you know. In prayer, I talked to God. I was candid with God. I was like, God, what? I don't know how to do this. This is too big for me. I mean, JD, yeah, he could do anything. But me? I was like, you know when you're sitting with God like, hey, this is not matching, God. This is feel a little bit big. This is feels too big for me. And I was having this moment with God, like, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't think I can do it. And I remember this impression down in here. It's like God softly speaking to me, and he gave me this picture. It was the picture of a light bulb. It's a life raft, lifeboat that was coming around in the water, and we would pick up one person from the water at a time. One person that was drowning at a time. And then he told me, he spoke deep into my soul. He said, just do what you have been doing. Just go out for coffee with one person at a time. Just listen to one story at a time. Every single person matters. Just do what you have been doing. Now, God didn't tell me it would be easy. In fact, if you look at this picture and you follow the imagery, it's one when people are in distress. They're drowning. It's not one that's easy or comfortable or to walk into someone's mess when they are not doing well, when they're drowning, and to walk into that situation and speak life into it is not an easy task. And let me tell you, to build a church one person at a time, not how you want to do it either. It's not the easy route. It's the hard route. But it is exactly what he told me would happen. And so I had to remember daily, I'd look at that magnet and I remember his promise. Do what I told you to do. The last thing I want to encourage you with this morning is remember your why. Remember your why. See, when difficulty lingers, forgetfulness sets in. We tend to forget why we made the decision we made in the first place. See, passion withers. Determination withers. Consistency withers. Motivation withers. It's like an overworked muscle, and it loses its strength when you keep pushing. You know, have you ever been doing the set, and you're like at 14, 15, and all of a sudden your muscle does not want to do it anymore? It's the same. Same as while you're working out a muscle, your soul loses its grit when you're faced with the same difficulty for a long period of time. As a response, what we do is we change our perspective and we make concessions. Maybe if I just do this, or maybe if I stop now, maybe if I just, you start to make concessions for the thing, for the promise. So you prayed for a healthy marriage. And God said, I will give you a healthy marriage. But you are too fatigued to see it through. And you keep wondering, would it just be better if I just ended it and started over and I could be happy by myself? I like me. Or you prayed for reconciliation and restoration in a relationship, but the lingering offense has caused your desire to reconcile to just wither. So you justify it. I know God told me to forgive, but I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like it's my fault. I didn't do anything. Let them come to me first. Why should I take the first step? You prayed for friends, and you know God told you to host a connect group, but it takes time, and you're busy, and you don't want people in your house. I'm just saying. You prayed for God to use you. I know God told me to start a business or to venture off and to do this or to do that, but I'm afraid, but I'm tired, but I don't have the time, but I'm scared, but you can give so many buts. We all have these prayers we make to God. We dream, we ask God to use us, to make our lives count. Have you ever had those prayers like, God, use me. I want to live for you. I want my life to count. I want purpose. I want to see your shine in my life. And then we set in motion and things get going and God gives us a purpose and you go out and you start and it gets hard and all you want to do is back off. Because if I could just be comfortable again, if I could just be easy, God. Friends, let me tell you from experience, you will not see your prayers answered if at the first or the 10th sign of hardship, you quit. You remember your reason. Remember why you started. Remember what it means to you. See, there's this passage in Luke that gives us a great insight to this walk and this journey with God. It says in Luke 9:62, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Can't look back. Burn the boats. When God has called you to do something and you venture off, you've counted the cost, you ask for confirmation, you said, okay, God, I'm in. You better burn them boats. There is no looking back. See, for JD and I, the why has always been strong. Even in that season where things were, when things felt so hard, individually and together, we have decided from a very young age that we were going to do whatever God asked us to do. He's the boss. If he asks us to move, all questions asked, but I will go. Yes, I'm going to ask him questions, and yes, I'm going to wrestle with God, and yes, I'm going to ask for confirmation, yes. Okay, I'm not gonna act like I won't be like, what? Of course I am. But yes, the answer is yes. God, whatever you want, whatever you ask us to do, my answer is always yes. See, it didn't get easier, friends. That first year that we planted this church, one of my best friends died that year. And I cannot tell you how much pain I felt. It was as if my heart was being ripped out of my chest. On the outside, my life felt like it was anything but prospering. But this is what happens when you are planted by streams of water. God is always present. I have to tell you, I have never felt the presence of God as strong as I did in that season of my life. Or when I got the worst news. God is so faithful. See, God never wastes a season. Not only that, but he says that he will make you bear fruit. You know what that means? That means what Romans 8:28 says. It says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love them. Not in some things. In all things, God works for the good of those who love them, those who have been called according to his purpose. So even in the season where I didn't feel it, even when outside, exteriorly, everything felt like it was withering, something inside, God was doing something within me. He was building character, perseverance. See, Romans 5, 3 through 5 tells us this, that not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Oh, God is faithful. Looking back, I am certain that because we remained planted by streams of water in all those things that we went through in the beginning developed something in us. It developed fortitude. It developed character. It developed perseverance to bear fruit in all the other seasons that were coming. We have had many other seasons, as you have had many other seasons. We have had COVID we went through. What a season. We've all went through it. I had another pregnancy. Other seasons, other stories that I've shared with you here before. I don't say this, guys, to boast on my ability. Because God knows he has done miraculous things in our lives. And it is only through God's grace and God's mercy. But I have to tell you something. Where we were struggling, he and I, to find a job, I have been employed for 4 years now and I'm on my fifth promotion. By the mercy of God. Not because of me, but because God, when he does things in his timing, he accelerates you, he promotes you. Promotion comes from God, not from man. See, where we had difficulty to find one couple to build this church, we now have many, and seven of which are pregnant, experiencing, you know, new life coming into their world. Where we had one toddler at the time, I now have four. I have a teenager, I have twins, and another toddler. Right? Where we weren't sure at the time where we were going to live, God has given us abundance. We have land. I don't know what to do with the land. I don't garden. JD gardens. But we have land. It felt at the time like we were withering. But now in hindsight, as I can tell, as I can look back, what mattered then still matters now. We have had some wins, and our tree has flourished on the outside, but on the inside, we still want the same living water. That's what we want. We still desire the streams that come from a life with God. I gotta tell you guys, there's no progress, no advancement, no fruit, nothing that we have produced exteriorly that is more important than the joy of living with God. The joy of having a life that is planted by his water. Because the reality is this, seasons change. Jobs change. Friends even come and go. But God, he remains. He is steadfast and faithful in every season. And I want to encourage you today to let your life, let yourself be planted by the streams of water. That way you will face every season with him. And even though exteriorly things may look, you know, withered, not withered, flourishing, not flourishing, it doesn't matter what's happening outside, inside, your soul will flourish. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you have a prayer request, a question about faith, or would like to find out more information, visit us at connectcommunity.org. Don't forget to subscribe and share. See you next time.